Praise the Lord. How many of y'all enjoyed listening to Howard Pittman last week? Man, I enjoyed that. That was really good. Yes, praise the Lord. Not everybody has a death experience and gets to go to heaven and hear the Lord say, I'm not happy with you. Wow, that was a real experience. But again, to think about every 15 minutes on this earth, 2,000 people die. I mean, isn't that something? Every 15 minutes, 2,000 people die. 8,000 to 10,000 people an hour die every day. Of course, you know, there's a few more than that born too, you know, so we gain a little every day. But it's amazing to me how many people die. And to think that 97.5% of them are going to hell and only 2.5% are going to heaven. Are you glad you're the 2.5%? I'm going to heaven, I guarantee. I picked up my ticket. It was free, but I went and got it. You know, I'm going to carry it with me forever. And carry it in my heart, I'm going. So praise the Lord. Do y'all notice we got some pretty flowers up here today? Isn't that nice? Praise the Lord. Why do we have flowers in church? Well, today we have flowers in church because just a few minutes ago we had a wedding in church today. Praise the Lord. One of our couples got married. Would y'all mind if I asked you to stand up? Mary and Tony, praise the Lord. The newest wed in the church right here. They've only been married a few minutes. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're so grateful for them. We love them. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So far, so good. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, absolutely. So far, so good. Well, I can tell you for sure there is days that it's wonderful, and then there's days that it's wonderful. Oh, I guarantee. You know, so yes, once in a while you will aggravate the other one just a little or something or rub the other one wrong, but still it's a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Because the children of the Most High God, can we continue to walk in love regardless of whether I'm having a bad day or she's having a bad day? And if we both have a bad day at the same time, we really have to get in that love walk. So praise God, I'm so grateful. Anyway, when you get to see the things we get to see God do at this little ministry, we are so grateful. So does anybody have a testimony that you'd like to tell? Has anybody had something happen to you that you'd like to share with us? We haven't asked for those in a while. So if you do, fine. If you don't, well, okay, we'll press on.
Right here.
Oh, we got one back here. Oh, okay, we'll come up here. Praise the Lord. I didn't see that little hand up there. Praise the Lord. Yes, Miss Dee Dee. Wow. Okay, tell us.
You know, I love the verse in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I feel like I'm supposed to tell everything the Lord does for me. On September 23rd, a lot of you have followed my 20 or 24 month odyssey here, and you stood in the gap for me in prayer, and I'm so grateful. You see that I did have to go through radiation, but I'm not giving radiation the glory, and I'm not giving the tablets that I've taken the glory either, though the Lord has, you know, orchestrated through my family what I need to do. But on the 23rd, I did have scans again, and just for those of you who don't know, I started on December 11, 2011, with 30 lesions in my bones, a lung tumor, and one brain metastasis that later went to about 20. And the scans on the 23rd, the PET scan was negative from the neck down. It has been since March. And I claim Nahum 1:9 over that affliction will not come a second time. Amen. So that is negative for
Amen.
All time.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
And the brain scan was negative except for one lesion that was shrinking. Praise. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. Yes, we do serve an awesome God, ladies and gentlemen. Any other press testimonies? If not, we will. Oh, we got another one somewhere. Oh, okay. Oh, you want to come tell us right quick? Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, okay. Praise
Thank
the
you.
Lord. Okay.
This may not seem like a big thing, but to me it's a big thing. I work nights and coming home early in the morning, I wanted to go to the bathroom so bad. So I was just speeding, and when I reached Northwest School, I didn't even see the light flashing that I should slow down. I was just speeding. Everything, all on my mind was to get home. Then I saw behind me this light, and I said, what's that? And I stopped, and the cop came over and said, Mom, you were speeding. I said, really? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm so sorry. I wasn't even paying attention. I want to get home so bad. He said, okay, where's your license, your so-and-so, asked me everything. I showed him. Then he went, it's okay, I'll be back. Okay, and he came back. He said, okay, gave me a paper. He said, all right, I won't give you a ticket. This is just a warning. So I paid nothing. And then I was there. I know a speeding ticket in school zone is very high. And I was already saying, how much I have to pay now. So when he came and said he wasn't giving me a ticket, it was just a warning, I said, devil, you lose again. Because he promised in his word, you pay your tithes faithfully, he'll rebuke the devil for your sake. Amen. He knew I didn't deliver. I always watch my speed. I am very careful. Pastor Thurman talked about it so much. So I always watch my speed. Sometimes I find myself going 70 on the highway and said, I slowed down, 60, 65, 60. So I slowed, and I watch my speed all the time. But this morning, I don't know where my mind was. I was both tired, and I was in a hurry. So when the Lord said, "You pay your tithes, prove me now, and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven, pour down blessing upon you in such a way you don't have room enough to contain it." But the one that came to me was, he said, he'll rebuke the devil for your sake. So I proved it, that he rebuked the devourer. The devourer tried something, but the Lord rebuked him. And I'm grateful to him. And I thanked him that I didn't have to pay that $300 or whatever dollars.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you want to? Okay, yeah, Mary wants to say something. Praise the Lord.
I feel like I need to. I have it on my heart because I know that I want to give God the glory. A couple months ago, I went through something, and it was a struggle in my life, and I took Mark 11:23-24, and I took 1 John, and I took Hebrews 4:16, and I continued to pray about the problem in my life, and I wanted to be delivered from something, and I didn't give up. And I just kept on, and there were times where my body wanted to give up, but I said no, that this is not gonna be my life. And Cheryl and Thurman continued to pray with me, and I overcame the problem along with my husband, and that I love dearly, and he brought us to a new place. And I just want to encourage you, if there is something that you need God to deliver you from, just keep giving it to him and don't give up.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Any other before we go on? Praise the Lord. No more? Okay. No more. Okay. Praise the Lord. I've got to tell you about a small one we encountered this week out of town. As we were out of town Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we spoke at a church in Des Moines, Iowa. And I think it was the first night after the service was over, there was a young lady and her children came up and wanted us to pray for her husband. And, you know, when women say they want me to pray for their husbands, I always ask, what's the problem? Because so many women, you know, tell me, well, my husband won't obey me. He won't do what I tell him. And so that's not exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the wife is supposed to obey the husband, not the other way around. But anyway, I said, what's wrong? She said, my husband was working on our hot tub in April and had a big fiberglass lid that went over it, and he had it blocked up, and he was in under there, and something happened, and the block fell out, and that big heavy thing fell and hit him in the top of the head. And so he's been a quadriplegic ever since. He can't move anything except his head. So it done something to the back or whatever. So anyway, first thing Cheryl and I did, we remitted his sins because we knew there was a sin. I don't know what it was. I said, Lord, we take John 20:23 and we remit this brother's sins. Now, we stand on your word, and like Matthew 18:19, where if two of us agree about anything, he'll do it. So we ask the Father in Jesus' name to completely heal the boy, you know, make him well. I mean, you know, what are you going to pray for? I mean, you want something good, right? Yeah. So we prayed the prayer of faith and thanked the Lord for completely healing the young man. I never saw the man in my life, but I see his wife and his children, and they're there asking. And so the next night, one of the sons comes in and says, Dad's walking with a walker today. Nobody got excited. Nobody knew what we'd prayed for. Nobody knew this man was a quadriplegic. So when he said, Dad's up today walking with a walker, nobody got excited. He's telling everybody, Dad's up walking with a walker. Ain't nobody excited nowhere. You know, I mean, so, okay, he's walking with a walker. What's the big deal? Whenever I heard he's walking with a walker, I knew what the problem. I knew he'd been a quadriplegic the day before, and I got excited, and I began to jump up and down and scream. Y'all understand, right? I mean, so if somebody comes in with a walker, you know, it's not a big deal. But if they were a quadriplegic yesterday at their home, and we prayed for you at church, and today you're coming in with a walker, I'm going to be jumping up and down screaming, ladies and gentlemen, because that's our Jesus. And so we were really excited about that. And so I don't know what all God did up there, but I know he did that. And, you know, and boy, that's a big one to me. And I love to pray the prayer of faith for people because I never know what the Master's going to do. You know, I mean, I know I have prayed the prayer of faith for people that were laying in bed with a broken back. And when I prayed the prayer of faith for them and guaranteed them they would get a supernatural healing from our King, when they crawl over and get out of the bed and stand up and walk off, that's something you'll never get used to. You'll never get used to seeing God do those kind of things. But Cheryl and I have seen him do those kind of things. I mean, he is an awesome master. Is he not? Amen. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Now then, I'm going to start out today in the scripture, and we're going to wind up in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 as far as we can. But to start off with, I'm going to start off in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. That's where we're going to start, Matthew 17, 14. I want us to see what the scripture says. We'll go through several verses here. Matthew 17, 14. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, there was a lady that told us when we were there last year. We prayed for her last year and for her fibromyalgia, and she said, from the time y'all prayed for me till tonight, which was a year later or about a year, she said, I have not had a single sign of fibromyalgia. I've been completely healed the whole time. So we get to see the Lord do some wonderful things. That's why we go and pray for all these people, because I don't know about you, but I love seeing God do things for his people. I mean, there ain't nothing like it, is there? Is that right, Mike? There ain't nothing like it, is there? Absolutely nothing like that. And so, and of course, if you don't get involved with God and learn how to pray the prayer of faith, you won't ever see him do nothing, will you, Kim? No, he ain't. I mean, I was that kind of a Christian. I was a normal Christian. You know, we came to church every time the door was open. And of course, in a Baptist church, we had Sunday morning Bible study. Then we had Sunday morning worship service and Sunday evening worship service. And then we had Tuesday night Bible study. And we had Wednesday night prayer meeting and all those things. And all those years, I never saw God do nothing. Never. You know, I just didn't see him. I didn't know he still done things. And I was carrying this awesome book around in my hand all the time. And I didn't know how far off I was with this book. Wow, when I began to have that relationship, like Dave talked to you about a while ago, of course, it only took 10 years of spending 5 to 15 hours a week, only 10 years to get developed. You know, he's kind of hard to get to know, Betty. You know, he's not easy, is he? I can't take him out to dinner one time and ask him to be married to him, right? It didn't work like that. Some girls might do that today, dinner one time, and okay, I'm ready, this is a good guy, I want to be married. But God, he wants to know you a little better than that before he starts giving you his power, doesn't he? Yeah, so, wow. You know, I don't know why. I love to tell testimonies, and I love to, and some of you have heard Betty's testimony so many times, but I just love to tell it. You know, this lovely lady, her and Bill, her husband right there, she's a great woman of God. She believes God. And she was designing a software package, a spreadsheet to use in the business. And she could not think of the right formulas where they were to make that spreadsheet work. And so she finally just gave up and said, Lord, I'm going to bed and I'm going to ask you to show me which formulas to put in what cells in that thing so that this thing will work perfect. And this lady went to bed during the night. She had a dream, and the Lord showed her in every cell what formula to put in every cell. She woke up the next morning, went in and put every one of them in, and that spreadsheet's still working to this day. Yeah. Yeah. Does he answer prayer? Does he? Wow. For his obedient sons and daughters, he answers prayer. That's available to how many of us, Miss Betty?
All of us.
That's available to every one of us. The only thing we've got to do is learn how to believe and pray the prayer of faith, right? And so, I mean, I just stand in awe of what people that learn these principles and that have that relationship with the Master. But you see, just like Dave said, you must have that relationship with the Master for these things to work. You know, if Betty had gone with Bill one time, and then she said, Bill, I'd like for you to buy me a new car, he probably wouldn't have done it. You know, not just one date. You know, but I don't know, he might have. He might have fell in love with her. I don't know whether he did it one time or not. But the chances are a whole lot better for you to get a nice car after you've been married to him a few years, right?
Right.
Yes, and so, and of course, that's the thing. You know, they want to get to know each other, and that's usually what most people do. They want to get to know each other before they get married. You know, most people don't want to get married after the first date because you really don't know anybody unless you're like me and Cheryl. When we got married, we didn't even have a date. And never had we been on a date at all. Of course, I would never, and she would never either have married me or I would have never married her if God hadn't have spoken to both of us and told us we were to marry each other. When he told her she's supposed to marry me, and then within 24 hours or less, he told me audibly that I'm supposed to marry this girl. I asked her to marry me, and she accepted, and we've been married 10 years now. And it's awesome. It works, praise the Lord. So, but Cheryl was not looking for a husband. Actually, I guess neither one of us were looking for a mate, but we had both told God, if you have somebody for us, you'll have to give us that person. But we don't want just anybody. You know, we want a woman or a man of faith, a godly person. And that's what Cheryl tells me all the time. When somebody comes up, especially a young woman that's not married, when I say young, that's any woman up to any age, Cheryl says, are you interested in getting married? And most of them will say, well, if I could find a godly man, yes. So Cheryl says, honey, pray for them a godly mate. I said, well, what makes you think she wants one? She said, every woman wants a godly mate. Is that right?
Amen.
Every woman wants a godly man. If you find a godly man, and he'll take care of you and support you and everything, that makes life wonderful, doesn't it?
Amen.
And that's what every woman wants. Now, praise the Lord, he says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. Verse 16 and 17. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, you faithless and perverse bunch. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him hither to me. Now then, I can only imagine just a few years ago, if somebody brought a boy in like this, I look at this young man, I see an epileptic, is what I see. But if somebody brought an epileptic in and said, would you pray for this boy so that he can be healed? I'd have said, find somebody else. God don't do that anymore. I mean, I'd been raised up in a Baptist church all my life. I didn't know God did these kind of things anymore. I knew he did them in the scripture, but I didn't know he did them today. And I think that's a big majority of us in the church. We do not know, we do not have that intimate walk with God, so he's never revealed these wonderful things to us. But now then, I have no problem casting a demon out of an epileptic and seeing him get healed. We have done it many, many times. But then after he says this, when Jesus really gets on him, can you imagine? Now, what do you think Jesus would say to you today? What do you think he would say? You're a child of God. I mean, most of us, is that true? Most of us here are children of God. So who lives in us? The same Jesus that's talking right there, his spirit, the same one, he lives in us. So why don't we let him do things through us? You know, what happens is we think we're doing it. And it never works when you do it. You know, you can't have that kind of faith on your own in the flesh. You cannot do this. But with Jesus living in you, if you could just turn him loose and let him do these things, you could see some awesome signs and miracles and wonders. But here, he was really upset with these boys. He called them a faithless and perverse generation. Well, I think the church today is pretty well in that same category. I know I was. The majority of my life, I was in that same category. I didn't know how to get any of these things done. But let's see what verse 18 and 19 says. And Jesus rebuked the devil. You know, when I think about that, just a few years ago, if you'd have asked me, do you think you have power over a devil? I said, absolutely not. I don't want nothing to do with the devil. You know, I understand he's he hurts you. So I don't want to mess with the devil. You think you can cast out a demon? Oh, no. No, I'm not even going to try. But unfortunately, that's where I was. And I think the whole church that I was a member of, Baptist church back in that, I think we were all in the same place. We were afraid of demons. And so I can just see them demons walking and say, you know who these stupid people think they are? They call themselves Christians. Look at this. This bunch of, they're nothing. And can't you just see that devil coming over to your house? And then I'm going to stir up a little trouble in your house. You don't know nothing about demons. I'm just going to mess with you and your wife.
No way.
But when we didn't know, Bill, no. they come in and tormented us. You know, I can tell you what. If I could make myself invisible, and if I was mean, there wasn't a good cell in my body, if I could make myself invisible, I could walk right into your house with you and your wife and all your children. You know how much fun I could have? You know how much trouble I could stir up in your house? Ooh, could I create a problem? Oh, my goodness. And if you didn't know what the problem was, I could come in, I could make your kids sick. I could make you sick. I could just do all kinds of devastating things as a demon of hell. And that's what they do. And when they get legal right to you through sin, that's exactly what they do. They come into your house, and if you don't know who it is that's doing this, they can make you sick, they can kill you and your children and all kinds of things, and you have no idea who's doing this. And of course, if it's sickness and disease they put upon you, the place that we all go that are not really trained in this area is when any kind of sickness comes upon us, or if we have an issue and one of us falls out and hurts ourselves or something, what do? Is that right? Thank God for 911. No. You don't need 911. All you need, you got a direct line to the master at all times, right?
Amen.
Is he always right there?
Yes.
Yes, he is. He's always right there. And if when you learn that and you learn you can call upon him, wow. I mean, I am completely convinced that beautiful little lady was up here a while ago, Miss Dee Dee. And her mother, Miss Judy, she told us this herself here a while back. She said, Thurman, if we hadn't met this ministry, my daughter would probably already be dead.
That's right.
Now, I believe that. Don't you, Dee Dee?
Yes, I believe it.
You believe it. Judy believes it. Yeah, mother believes it. But see, she met us and we've taught her how to do these things. Now she's standing on it. In fact, I got to tell you something she didn't tell you. But she's got a husband that's not quite as strong in faith as she is. And for sure, the average person that comes here, he's a normal Christian, you know, like I used to be. But the other day, she'd had a black legion or whatever on her forehead for about 3 months. And he come by the other, she said, honey, would you please pray for this thing to come off of my head? And he stopped and prayed. And within 1 hour, that thing fell off of Dee Dee's head. Now, is that something? See, she didn't tell you that, but Dee Dee, that happened, right? Yeah, see, it did happen. She's confirming it right now. She didn't even tell you about that. But you know who the greatest prayer warrior of faith should be in your house? Your husband. You know, I mean, God will hear his prayer when he won't hear nobody else's for you. If you're a woman, if you're a wife, and especially if you're an obedient wife. If you're an obedient wife walking in obedience to God's word, when your husband prays for you, just like when her husband prayed for her, within 1 hour, that thing that had been there for 3 months fell off. Now, I love it when, don't you love to see God do those kind of things for his children? I just think that's awesome. But anyway, so Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out, or why could we not heal him? You know, most of us in the church today, when we pray for somebody and something don't happen, we don't ask that question. We just say, oh, well, God don't do those things no more. And sure enough, he doesn't. You know, when you don't do it his way, he doesn't do those things. But, well, since they asked, let's see what kind of answer the Lord gave these people in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So, what is our problem?
Unbelief.
You know, because of our, at least that's one issue, right? At least one thing. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, there's that big word again. If. I mean, isn't that a big word? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, now just think, that's pretty little. Now just, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, let's see what he said you can do with that kind of faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So, what is it that we need to start learning how to obtain?
Faith.
How do we do that? Get in the Word. When we start getting in the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, we're in there with Jesus and we're developing a knowledge of Him. In other words, we're developing an intimacy with Him. Just like when a man and a woman goes together. You know, I mean, like I said, I can't use myself and my wife. I guess I could use my first wife because we didn't know these things. I did know enough to lead her to Jesus, the woman I married when I was 21 years old. But I led her, got her, I actually had the pastor lead her to Jesus. I didn't know how to do it. I couldn't even lead somebody to Jesus, you know. So, but I knew she needed to know Jesus, and she didn't. And I looked at this girl and I thought, wow, I'd like to marry that girl. You know, every man has that little glitch, you know. All of you've had that, haven't you? And some of you women have same thing. When you see a guy, you say, whoa, look at that guy. That's the one I want right there. Is that the way it works, Gracie? Yeah, you see a guy, you say, hmm. And if the fire clicks in both of y'all, well, then y'all start dating, and of course she'll be hard to get, you know, and you want to take her to dinner. Well, maybe sometime, but not tonight, you know. And the guy said, oh, you know. So anyway, you know, you finally get to going together, and when you go together for usually a year or two or three, and like my wife, my first wife and I, we went together for a couple of years or whatever it was, and then I thought, wow, you know, I really do like this girl. You know, I mean, that's the way it usually works, isn't it, right? You know, when you see one, you think, wow, that's the one I think I want to marry, and then when you go with her a while, you think, wow, the more I learn about her, the more I like her. You know, so praise the Lord. So I'm going to shoot the big question. I'm going to give her a ring or something and see what she says, you know. And so when she said yes, she would marry me, I thought, wow, praise God. So in June, we got married. Well, but that took a long time. With me and Cheryl, see, it wasn't like that. I mean, I'd already had 41 and a half years with this woman, and she got killed in a car wreck. So I thought, well, I'm 60-something years old. I think I was 63 or 4, 2 or 3, whatever it was. And Cheryl was 50. So, okay, Cheryl was 56 and I was 65 when we got married. But neither of us had ever probably planned to get married again under no conditions. You know, but Cheryl had already told the Lord, I give up. You know, there ain't no good men left out there. You know, she said, there's not any good men left. You know, all men want to go with you and have sex with you. They don't care about you. They don't want you. They don't want your family, nothing else. They just, and she said, I'm just giving up. I'm not looking for a sexual encounter. I'm looking for a man that'll love me. And so she said, if you got one like that, you know, if he's a good Christian man, she said, Lord, bring him my way. But if you don't, forget it. It's just going to be me and you and the dog. You know, she said, I don't have to have a man. It's going to be you and me and the dog. And so that's the way she lived. But God had a plan for his daughter. You know, she told him, I want a godly man. And of course, I've told this story lots of times. You know, here I am up here preaching a preacher, and Cheryl didn't know me at all, except she had got healed at our ministry. She also had an incurable disease. When she came to me, I told her it was because of sin that caused this. She had to repent. She did. And I prayed for her, and the master healed her. And so she was so grateful that she got healed of an incurable disease, just like Dave, you know, when he got healed of an incurable disease. Both of them came to me and, you know, they wanted to come to the church, and Dave wanted to work for me. He's willing to work for nothing. And I thought, wow, this is really something. So anyway, God knows what he's doing. But anyway, when we think about these wonderful things that God does for us, when we're not looking for a mate and don't even really think we want one, but God has a plan. And I had no idea of all. In fact, I remember the first year in the ministry, as I had to keep up with records and everything. What a nightmare. Having to study for church, having to give messages and go and speak and prepare for all that. And then and then make tapes. You know, I did everything. I was a one-man show. I mean, I had to make all the tapes, duplicate all them, everything. And I mean, I'm up, you've never seen such a thing as this. When I finally did move out here in the ministry center, I had to build a building too. When I built that, when I come out here, at one time, I had 100, and after the ministry began to grow a little bit, I had 135 video cassette recorders racked up in racks of 10. And I would put a master in there. Now, my teachings, most of them are 2.5 to 3 hours long, some of them 4. So I'd put a master in there, and I'd back off with that control, and I'd do whoosh like this, you know, so that all of them would go into record mode. And all of them went into record mode. You had to make sure you never let up on the button, because if you let up on hit again, everything you just put in the card button is off. So it took a little learning. But I would do all that and get 135 running, and it's 12 o'clock at night, so I'd go and set my alarm for 3 in the morning, or 3:30, whatever, and then at 3:30, I'd wake up and run in here and take out 135, put in 135 more, and hit record and go back to bed. Wow. You know, some of y'all have no idea what I've been through to get where I am today. You know, so, I mean, it was fun. I was doing it for God. I was seeing the Lord do wonderful things. So, time don't mean nothing to me. You know, I mean, I just want to see people blessed. And so, I don't care how long I have to work or anything about it. I just want to see people blessed. But I had no idea. All this records and everything, I'm thinking, man, Lord, this is a chore. You know, and the first year, in a whole year, all the total input that come into the ministry, to buy all these tapes and everything, there was a grand total of $90,000 came into the ministry the first year I was in ministry. And nearly all that went back in buying tapes and cassette recorders and stuff. At the end of the year, I'm broke. You know, I mean, I had enough to pay the bills, but I ain't got nothing left. But that's okay. I don't care. I'm seeing God do awesome things. So I thought, wow, now how am I, if this ministry were to grow from 90,000 to 100,000 or 200,000, what would I do? I'm going to spend all my time keeping records. And I can't do that, Lord. I can't study. So he said, don't worry about it, son. I've got a good mate for you that can do all those things. And then you'll have all the time to study and preach my word. And I had no idea what he was going to bring me. Woo! He brought me this gorgeous thing, you know, as my wife. And when he told me Cheryl was going to be my wife, I said, wow, okay, how's this going to come to pass? How do I ask this woman to marry me, Lord? I ain't never had a date with her. I ain't never held her hand. So he just put me in a place one night, and I asked her after church, would you like to work for me? And she said, I would. And I said, why don't we go down to a little restaurant and drink a cup of tea, and we'll talk about you working for me. And she said, okay. So she followed me in her car. We go down there, and we're in there drinking a cup of tea and talking about the Lord. And I said, okay, Cheryl, why do you want to work for me? Did you have a word from the Lord? And she said, I did. I said, well, tell me. She said, oh, no, Pastor, it would offend you. I can't tell you what he said. I said, no, 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 no. I said, if the Lord spoke to you about working for me, I want to know what he said. Well, okay. She said, last night I had a dream. And in the dream, I wasn't just working for you. I was married to you. I said, well, this morning God woke me up and told me you were going to be my wife. I said, so how would you like to come to work for me as my full-time helpmate? And she reached across the table and took my hands and said, I would love it. And so that's the way we got engaged. You know, I thought, wow. So we sat there and drank hot tea and talked for about 3 or 4 hours till about 4 o'clock in the morning. And after this, we get ready to go home. We leave. It's a little IHOP. So we leave and we go out to the car. And on the way out to the car, she's thinking, did I just accept a proposal from this man for marriage? And she was, I think she was wondering what was going on, because when we walked up to the car, I said, Cheryl, I said, this may be a little straightforward. I don't know any other way how to do this. But I said, since you've just accepted a proposal for marriage, would you mind if I give you a kiss? Is that too much to ask, Mary? Is that too much to ask of a girl? I've just been asked. I mean, when Tony asked you to marry, did you kiss him? Yeah, sure. See, so, I mean, I saw you kiss him just a few minutes ago, too, after you said I do. So, praise the Lord. So, I don't think that's it. But anyway, I thought, I don't know how I should act. I never had a date, never held her hand. Now I'm going to ask her if I can kiss her, you know. And so, wow, she said, okay. And she grabbed me and hugged me. And wow, when our lips touched, there was a fire. Woo, man, old fire. I thought, wow, this is the right one. Praise God. But isn't life fun? Doesn't God make life fun?
Amen.
He makes life fun. You know, he plans for us to have a fire in there for each other. Doesn't he not?
Amen.
Sure. As long as I have a fire for her and nobody else, that's okay. You know, so that's what he wants me to do, to have a fire for my wife. And so anyway, God brought her to me. And man, she has been an asset to the kingdom. She does every kind of thing imaginable. And I get to come back here to my office and lock myself up and take the word and study for 4 or 5 hours sometime. If I didn't have her helping me run this place, and with all these other wonderful people that God sent to me to help me, there ain't no way I could do those things. I used to do the editing and everything. I don't have to do none of that stuff no more. You know, I have somebody else. God has sent me somebody else to do that. So all I have time to do is study and prepare and build buildings. I do, and fly airplanes. I do get to do a little of all that. I love to do that. So God lets me have my heart's desire. So he said, but if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So now then, from that scripture right there, if we have faith, if we have his knowledge and wisdom, what is going to be impossible with us as his children? Nothing. But you have to learn to think like that. You can't think normal. You can't think like a normal man or a normal woman. You got to learn to think faith. I can do this in the name of Jesus. Well, let's go to another place in the scripture. Let's go to Mark 9:14. And let's see what happens in Mark 9:14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, they saluted him. Okay, verse 16 and 17. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Okay, now wait a minute. These people lived 2,000 years ago. You would think in 2,000 years that we would learn what spirits are. Wouldn't you? You ask the average church member today, if somebody comes in frothing at the mouth and throwing down, how many people say, whoops, he's got a spirit. He's got a dumb spirit. He's got an evil spirit. I mean, I'm that Baptist church I was raised up in. Man, there ain't nobody, nobody. I mean, not even the pastor. They did not understand the spirits. I mean, you know, if somebody starts frothing at the mouth, throwing down in the floor and all, and I had that happen over in Dallas at my church one time. There was a young boy, and he was not getting along too well with his dad. Him and his dad were having a little problem, and they come up to church, and he was 14 or 15 years old. And they're singing, leading the music. And all of a sudden, this young man goes wild, knocks the chairs down, falls on the floor, starts kicking and screaming. You remember that, honey?
I was there, and I wasn't married to you.
Okay. That when that happened, I mean, first thing, I knew, what do I have on my hands? What do I have? I got a spirit. I got a demon spirit in that church, in that little boy. How did he get in him? He's been rebellious to his dad. He's not been a really good young man to do what daddy told him to do. He's been rebellious. And so he picked up a demon spirit. And that spirit was going wild in that church. Now, as soon as it happened, they started knocking the chairs down. We were all singing. Many people just went over and they moved over and just opened up. Well, as soon as they moved back, I just ran right in there, jumped on top of that boy right down there on the floor. I began to scream, "Come out of him, you devil of hell. I'll remit his sins in the name of Jesus. Come out of him." It was really quiet in the church. I mean, most people never seen a demonstration like this. How many of you have ever been to church and seen something like that happen in church? Okay, some of you have. Praise God. But most people never have. And so after a few minutes of remitting his sins and all the things and commanding the spirit to come out, all of a sudden the little boy became totally normal. And I stood up with him. I said, "Okay, well, pick up right where you left off. Let's go back to singing." I said, get to singing. Let's sing and praise and worship the King. And so, man, the choir that was up there, they started singing and praising the Lord and everything. We all went back into singing, and that little boy was okay. Now, you know what most people would do when something like that happens? What would we do?
Run.
Oh, my goodness. Run. You wouldn't even call 911, huh? Some people on the run will call 911. Some people won't even do that. Some people just gets out of the way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as sons and daughters of God, you need to know the power we have over the devil. I mean, Jesus told us, and in fact, let's go ahead down through this just a few seconds, and then we'll come back to that. And one of the multitude answered, said, "Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit." And verse 18 and 19, let's see what he says. And whenever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foameth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pineth away, and he spoke to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now then, let's say today is your day. Somebody walks in over there with a boy that's kicking and screaming and throwing down, using foul words, and being thrown into the seats and back on the floor, and he jumps up screaming and kicking and everything else. What do you do with a person like that? What do most people do? They get out of the way. You get out of the way. Give them place. You don't realize it's a demon in that person. See, these people back in this day, they knew it was an evil spirit. They said so, didn't they? This boy has an evil spirit. But we couldn't cast him out. I don't know how we've lost all this. I just don't understand this. But they could not cast him out. He answered him and said, "Oh, you faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him unto me." Verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Who has ever seen a spirit take control of somebody that does this? Have you ever seen somebody do this? Okay, so you have seen this. Every time I see this, I think about the woman out in Silver City, New Mexico, you know, that when we cast those 2,823 demons out of her, I mean, she just foamed at the mouth and all kinds of crazy things. She screamed, she kicked. The woman flew through the air 3 feet off the ground and all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you've never seen anything like that, it's an awesome experience. But I've seen it before, and that was just another time I got to see it. But that day, I was grateful because my wife was there and Dave was there, and they all got to see this. So I'm telling you, whenever you see these kind of things, if you've never seen them before, it'll either scare you and you'll get out of the ministry, or you'll realize that this is God's work and you're about His business. And we realize we're about God's business because we did get that lady set free out there in Silver City, New Mexico. And it says, he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. Well, let's see what happened. And he said, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But look, listen to this now, ladies and gentlemen, the very significant statement being made. But if you can do anything. Now, who is this man talking to?
Jesus.
He's talking to Jesus. Well, when somebody brings one of these kind of people to us, who lives in us?
Jesus.
So when they ask this question, that same Jesus that was doing this, where's he at now? He's right here. So if we will turn him loose and let him do something by faith, can he do these same things today?
Absolutely.
Of course he can. Absolutely he can. There's no doubt. He says, he throws him into the water, destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And look what Jesus said in verse 23. Jesus said, 23, wait a minute, we back too far. Go back to verse 23. One, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. Now, where does this power lay with? Us. If you can believe, how many things? Now, what is it we don't understand about that? What is it I didn't understand about that? Gracie, what was it you didn't understand about that, huh? Maybe you just didn't know them, huh? Was that the case? You didn't even know those things, did you? But is it written in the book?
It is.
Yeah, so if it's written in the book, wow, just think. So Jesus said unto him, and many of us, is this what we do? Oh God, if it be your will you please help me? Do we do that? Oh my, that's the only way I used to pray. I mean, I didn't know that was unbelief. I didn't know that wasn't faith, but it was pretty obvious. Something was wrong because I never got any answer to my prayer. When I did start praying a few prayers like I was taught, unfortunately, in the Baptist church, they didn't work. God would not hear those prayers. But when I began to get into the Word and get a relationship with the Master, and Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now then, when I ask you, do you believe? You know, nearly everybody in the church say, oh, I believe, I believe. But I asked that question in Des Moines the other day. How many of you believe? And everybody said they believed. I said, okay, so let's just say, for instance, that you had a problem. If all things are possible, if you believe, I said, so you get sick, or you are in a wreck, you hurt your hand, or whatever. I said, in fact, let me just give you an example. Let's say, for instance, I'm working on an overhead door. And I said, I wind the spring in it, and I don't realize I have the spring wound. So I can't get the bracket off, but I got an angled bracket in my hand that's about that long and about that wide, and it's bent 90 degrees, and it's sharp all around the edges where it's been sheared with a shear. And so I said, it's bent in an angle, and I got it in my left hand, and I can't get it off of there, so I reach up and get a hammer to knock it off. When I do, I release the hold that's holding it, and that steel angle being wound by that spring starts like a cleaver going through my hand at about 90 miles an hour, whoosh, 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 and just tears my hand all to pieces. And some of the women sitting in front, oh, I said, now wait a minute, I thought y'all were going to be women of faith. I said, this didn't happen to you, this happened to me. And I said, y'all nearly passed out. Me just telling you what happened to me. I said, but I looked at that hand, tore all to pieces. I thought, okay, I thought of all these scriptures. If I can believe, nothing shall be impossible with me. Is that what he said?
Amen.
So who am I going to believe? Well, I'll tell you, most of us, in fact, I'll have to say the mechanic that was helping me that day, He looked at my hand. He said, "Oh my God, you have ruined your hand." I said, no, I haven't ruined it. I've tore it up pretty good, but I hadn't ruined it. I know the doctor that can fix it. Amen. Yeah, now I messed up, but I said, I'm going back over to the ministry center, let my wife clean it up, tape it up, and put some bandages on it, and then we'll come back over and help you finish these doors. He said, "Well, Thurman, I ain't gonna let you drive your pickup over there." I said, "Well, I can drive." I said, "I just tore up my left hand." And I said, "I can definitely drive." He said, no, I'm going to drive you over there." I said, "Okay." So he gets in the truck and we pull out on the highway. Just as we pull out on the highway, he looks for traffic both ways. And as he does, he looks at my hand bleeding, the rags all bloody. He said, "Oh my God, I hope I don't pass out." When he said that, I said, "Pull over, I'll drive. I ain't going to pass out." He said, "No, I'll make it." I said, "Well, then whatever you do, don't look over here no more. Because I do not want to have a wreck." You can understand that, right? I don't want to have a wreck. And so we get over here, and of course Cheryl looks, "Oh my goodness," she said, "you really done a good job on your hand." I said, "Yes, I did." Now see, she's not excited at all. She's a woman of faith too. So she goes in, she takes that cleaning stuff. What do you call it?
Hydrogen
peroxide. Yeah, I don't know why I can't never think of that. I'm going to think of that from now on anytime. Anyway, she takes the hydrogen peroxide, pours it all over my hand. It foams, you know, like it's supposed to, and cleans everything. Then she gets the bandages and she starts bandaging it up. Praise the Lord. She gets it all wrapped up. And I said, "Okay." So a couple of days later was Sunday. And I believe Jack was the one I showed it to. He come in. He's a doctor. And he come in and he said, "What'd you do to your hand?" I said, "Well, I kind of messed it up. I got it in an overhead door." He said, "Well, can I see it?" And I said, "Yeah." So I undone it. And he looked at it and he said, "Thurman, you don't have a stitch in that hand." I said, "No, I ain't going to put nothing in it." He said, "Thurman, a hand tore up that bad. You probably need about 200 stitches. 200. I said, "But I ain't going to put nothing in it. I'm going to let Jesus fix it." So I let Jesus fix it in a week and a half, 2 weeks. You watched it, didn't you, Kim?
I did.
You watched God heal my hand. Yeah. And he done it supernaturally in less than 2 weeks' time, and I don't even have a scar on that hand. Now see, that's what you can do by faith. But now see, if you tell the story, as soon as you tell the story, everybody goes into, where's my phone? I need to call 911. That's where we live. As children of God, that's where we live. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants us to live in faith, don't you?
Amen.
And so if we trust Him, that's one of those promises where He said, what's possible with us?
All things.
Now, there's something wrong here with us, isn't there, Eldon? Mm-hmm. If all things are possible with us, all we got to do is do what?
Believe.
All we got to do is believe. So obviously we're not believing, are we? So if we believe, now I'm going to take you, when we talked about casting out that demon a while ago, for the benefit of you that have never cast out a demon, I'm going to take you to one of my favorite scriptures, two places really in the Word, one of them, Mark 16:17. I want you to see that one verse, Mark 16:17, where he says, this is what believers can do. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer?
Amen.
I am too. We're believers in Jesus, right? He says, in my name you shall cast out devils. Is that what Jesus said?
Yes.
So now think about this. He has empowered his children with his power that if we encounter a demon, we can cast them out. We don't have to let them run over us. We can drive out demons. Many times I have cast out demons in epileptic people and they get healed. Now then, but I have learned my power and my authority that Jesus has empowered me with. Without his word, I could never have done this. But with his word, did he say, and these signs shall follow those that believe? Did he say that? Okay, so I'm not just telling you something out of the wild. I'm telling you something that come out of God's Word, right? Okay, now let's go to Luke 10:19-20. And I want you to see this awesome promise. This is an awesome verse in Luke 10:19-20. And he says, and these signs, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. The serpent is the devil and his scorpions, that's his demons, that's those that pierce the body. So he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on the devil and his demons, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits or the evil spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you're a child of God, your name's written where? In heaven. That's right. We're going there someday. But in the meantime, we're stuck down here on this earth. And there just happens to be demons on this earth. You're going to encounter them. Now, I think about this couple that called me. It was an older couple. They were maybe late 60s. But they had a grandson, and their grandson was 10 years old, and his mother and dad was not walking with God. So this mother and dad that wasn't walking with God, they had this little boy, and they raised him till he got to about 10, and then they decided they didn't want him no more, so they handed him off to the grandparents. Man, he wouldn't obey nothing they told him. I mean, that grandmother, she called me one day and said, I've heard about your ministry, and she said, I have a 10-year-old grandson. He won't do nothing we tell him to do. Said, he's mean. He tears up things. What can we do? I said, ma'am, it was on Thursday, I remember. I said, Saturday, I have a healing school. Bring him. She said, okay, we'll bring him. So they came. They sat through 4 hours of teaching. After 4 hours, they came up for prayer. When they came up, they told me who they were, and I said, okay, well, where's the boy? And she said, well, he's back there running around somewhere. He won't even obey us. I told him to come here, and he won't do it. I said, where's he at? And she said, that's him right over yonder. I said, son, come here. He looked up and he says, me? I said, yes, you get up here. So he come running down the aisle, come right there. I knelt down in front of him. He's 10 years old. I looked him right now. I said, son, what you need is Jesus Christ. He said, no, I'm not interested. I said, son, you really need to make Jesus Lord of your life. No, I'm not interested. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I said, you devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. I said, go to the pit of hell. I'm breaking the curses over this boy. Now come out. And I said, now, son, what you need is Jesus. He said, yes, sir, how do I do it? And I led that boy to Jesus. He got him saved right there. That woman called me about a week or two later. I asked the Lord to put the spirit of love, joy, and peace in him. And about 2 weeks later, that grandmother called me. She said, man, what a transformation in our grandson. Said, he's the most wonderful little guy. He obeys us, does everything, and said, he's just a totally different boy. Well, who was in him that was causing all the problems? Demons. The devil and his demons. How much power, according to that scripture, do we have over the devil?
Oh.
So what is it we don't understand about this? You know, how many grandchildren run over grandparents that are Christians that have no knowledge of who they are or who the devil is? Isn't that true? Yeah. I mean, but I just take the word at face value. Jesus said, you know, this is what's happening, and these demons are here, and I have all power over them, then why should I let a little 10-year-old kid run over me? Yeah, if you don't know. I mean, just like that boy that they brought a while ago that was flopping down, throwing, kicking, screaming, and everything else. They knew he had a spirit. And today, I don't know why it is. I guess it's because we have so many doctors and we have 911 and all that stuff. If somebody goes into an epileptic seizure, I have never in my life seen anybody call a man of God to come and pray over them. It just don't happen. They call 911 and send them down and give them a shot. Something to knock them out. When they're knocked out, they can't do nothing. As a rule. But if you want to get somebody set free, you learn these principles of the kingdom. And just like Jesus, is this exactly what Jesus did to these children? Did he cast out the spirit? You don't know what's hard for you to realize. You have a child, you raise it, you bore it. It's your child, you and your husband, and you have no idea how many sin doors you might have had open in your life, and your child comes up with some of these demons and gets where it's uncontrollable and everything else. That we do everything in the world except take authority over demons to set our children free. If I come to you and say, you know what's wrong with your son? And you say, I have no idea. I said, he's got a demon. My son could not have a demon. Yes, that's what's wrong with him. He's got a demon. Because people don't believe today. In fact, in the church today, just in the church in that day, 2,000 years ago, they all understood the demons. They understood the spirits. They said, my son has a demon. He has a spirit, and it's afflicting him, throwing him into the fire. But today, we don't acknowledge that at all. I mean, you tell somebody your daughter's got a spirit, and that's why they're doing what they're doing, they think, you're crazy. We can't have demons. You know, Christians can't have demons. Oh, yes, you can. Yeah, you in fact, if you're swearing to me you can't have one, I guarantee you got one. Because that's who's talking. You know, now, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, in fact, some of you girls will probably think, after what I just said, that's what's wrong with my husband. He's got a demon, so I know what I'm going to do when I get home tonight. I'm casting that devil out of him. Well, you better really get knowledgeable in the word before you even attempt to do something like that. Otherwise, you may wind up and get hurt. You know, you have to really know who you are, and then it will work. I have seen it happen, but and in some cases, that is true. If your husband will not come to church, and he does bad things, and he's not a very good guy, I can assure you he has demons. Especially if he's a drinker or a curser or any of those things, they have all kinds of wicked spirits. But don't go home as a woman and think you're going to cast them demons out of him. Now, if he ever attacks you, I mean, to hurt you, if he does, then before you let him hurt you, you take authority. If you can lock this in your heart, when he starts to attack you, to hurt you, you say, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of him right now in Jesus' name. And you see what God's going to do. If he's fixing to hurt you, if you're walking in total obedience to God's word, God will step right up there and he'll honor that request that you made. And he'll take that guy away from you. And he'll save your life. But you have to realize who these spirits are. And you got to realize that these spirits come because of sin. In fact, Cheryl and I, since we've been married, we had a guy who was a director of a camp in Wisconsin. And this guy, he called me one day and he said, Thurman, I've been listening to some of your stuff. And he said, it looks like it's kind of fits my life. He said, I've had epilepsy ever since I was just a late teenager, early 20. And he says, I am a director of a youth camp in Wisconsin. And he said, the most intimidating thing in the world is to be up there teaching to 50 or 100 children, teenagers, and come down with an epileptic seizure. How would you like to do that? Can you imagine a demon manifesting in you? Here you are proclaiming to these children the power of God's word, and you got 50 or 100 of them out there trying to teach them God's word, and all of a sudden a demon manifests in your body and takes you down, and you start kicking and foaming, trying to bite your tongue off and all that stupid stuff. And he said, that happens to me. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, were you ever rebellious to your dad? He said, one time that I remember. I said, tell me about it. He said, when I was about 17, he said, 16 or 17, he said, some boys come by to get me one afternoon. We were going to go to a rock concert. And my dad asked me, son, where are you going? I said, well, Dad, we're going down to that big rock concert you're having. He said, no, son, that's of the devil. And I don't want you to go to those kind of places. Because he said, my dad was a man of God. And he said, I told my dad, okay, Dad, I promise you I will not go. But he said, we drove off and we went. He said, I lied to my dad. Then he said, a year or so later, I started having epileptic seizures. Didn't happen immediately, but it started about a year later. And he said, now then, and all through my life, I've had epilepsy. And since that time, since I was about 20 years of age, and he said, sometimes it seems to be getting more and more obvious that I've got this, especially when these things manifest when I'm in a teaching to a group of youth. Well, what a better time for the devil to manifest than right before the children. You know, he had no idea. I told him, I said, you know, brother, I tell you what we're going to do. I want you to repent and tell your dad you're sorry. He said, my daddy's already dead. I said, didn't make no difference. I still want you to tell that to God. Lord, I repent to my dad, and I forgive myself and my dad, and I promise God that I'll never do anything stupid like that again. And he said, I said, just repent. And so he did. I said, now then, according to Luke 10, 19 and 20, how much power do you and I have over the devil?
All power.
What does it mean to have all power over the devil? And that he has to obey you. So isn't that good news?
Amen.
So if Jesus is the one who told me that, then I can have faith for that, right?
Right.
You know, if you'd have come up to me and told me, Thurman, you know you have power over the devil? I said, where'd you learn that? And say, well, I heard that somewhere. That ain't gonna work because that's not real faith. That's false faith. So, but if you tell me, look right here, it's written right here in God's Word, Luke 10, 19 and 20. Man, I read that about 500 times and I say, woo, that's what that says. So I told him, I said, you repent and I'm going to cast them devils of hell out of you and they're going to leave and you ain't never going to have another epileptic seizure. So as we saw a while ago in the scripture, that boy that had the epileptic seizures, what was it that caused the problem?
A spirit,
according to the Word of God, right? So what makes you think it'd be any different today? If you know somebody's having epileptic seizures, most people say, well, it could be a demon, but it could be something just normal sickness. I'm going to tell you there ain't no such thing as sickness without demons. It does not exist. God and demons is what causes all the sickness that we encounter. Everybody, there's no such thing as just sickness. Sickness happens when we start sinning. That's the way it is. It's been like that forever. I mean, Adam and Eve has been like that, you know. It's been like that all throughout your life. And with no sin, the scriptures is clear all throughout. With no sin, there's no sickness. That's written in God's Word over and over and over. If you obey me and do what I say, then I will take all sickness away from you. Again, what does all mean?
All.
So if you're having some kind of sickness, you got a sin somewhere that you need to take care of. Now, when you take care of that sin, repent of that sin, we can do then just what I did with this man. He was the director of this camp. I don't know what, he was probably in his 30s by this time, late 30s, somewhere along there. And I took authority after he repented to the Lord and to his dad, although his dad was dead. I said, now I'm going to take authority over this spirit that's living in you, and I'm going to command this beast. I said, we're going to break the curse. You're redeemed from that curse. I'm going to command those spirits of curse to leave you and go back to the abyss, and they're never going to touch you again in the name of Jesus. And so I did all that, thanked the Lord for it, and I told him, I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed, I'm delivered. He did all that a year later. The young man called me. He said, Thurman, I got to tell you, I have not had a single seizure in a whole year.
Hallelujah.
He said, I've been healed. So he said, I have talked to my church camp administrator and told him, I want to get you up here to teach our children. And he said, okay. So he said, I got set free. Thurman prayed for me over the phone and I got set free. So, but he told me what caused it. So I want him to come up here to teach us how these things work. And so I said, okay. And he said, by the way, have him send me some of his teachings. I'd like to listen to them. So 3 or 4 or 5 months later, they made an appointment for me to come up there. Well, I sent them a little stack of CDs. And about 4 or 5 weeks later, he called me and said, Thurman, I got bad news. I said, what do you mean? He says, my church administrator, my camp administrator, he listened to your teachings. When he heard you say all sickness is caused by sin, he said, I don't believe that at all. And said, I will not let that man speak at our camp. So they canceled me. So I never did go speak at that camp. But that young man that still delivered, last time I talked to him, he said, praise God for your ministry. He said, I have never, after I repented to my dad and to the Lord, I have never, ever had another seizure to this day. And he said, now then, I'm well enough based in the Word of God that I'm not ever going to sin again. I'm going to walk holy before God. So I know I'm never going to have another one. And so, don't you love changing people's life?
Amen.
I love changing people's life. You know, I love seeing people get healed and delivered. You know, this is what God called us to do. Now then, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, start with verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, and go to verse 3, and look at what the Lord says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, we just start there. Okay, that's okay, yeah. Okay, verse 3. Now, I want you to think about Paul when he's writing this. When I see this, finally, I read this no telling how many times, but one day I saw this in its reality. Paul is standing on the hills of Ephesus I can see him out there now with his hands raised to the Lord, screaming, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Wow! Blessed be! I used to read that, and you know, like this. You know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that's kind of the way I read it. I was reading it out loud, but it wasn't meaning nothing to me. And so, as I reread it over and over and over, one day, it's kind of like the Lord just grabbed me by the nape of the neck and slapped me one time and says, "Look at what I put in that book. Blessed be." Oh, I thought, wow, there's a message in that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with I don't know what I'm going to do about teaching a class on all. Obviously, we don't get it. If he blessed me with all spiritual blessings, then what are some of them? Well, let's look on down. Maybe he wrote some of them down here for us. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay, now that's the first thing you want to really lock onto, that you and I are supposed to be what?
Holy
and without blame. That means we are not to live like children of the devil as children of the King, right? We're not to be out there lying and stealing and cheating and committing adultery and fornication and all the junk of the world. We're supposed to be walking as children of God without blame before the King. Do you know how difficult that can be? To walk without blame before God? I mean, we should be striving for that, though, should we not, Kim? Yeah, we should be striving. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you want to see God do wonderful things, you have to meet all of his criteria. If you're walking in love and without blame because you've been washed in the blood, you can begin to see God do awesome things when you pray. And I love it. Don't you, Ann, when I pray for somebody and see him do something big time? It's like Cheryl and I, when we prayed for that guy, that quadriplegic. Y'all understand why I could get excited? I mean, I got a quadriplegic and he's at home. I don't even see him. We pray for him and his wife stands in the gap and we remit his sins, and the next night the boy comes in church and his daddy's up walking with a walker. I mean, Lord of mercy, what's wrong with you people? Can't you get excited? You know, well, you know, I did. I got excited. You know, Debbie, she says, "Wow, I don't know what happened to you," but she said, "Boy, the anointing of God came all over you." She said, "I was all over that place, bouncing off the ceiling and walls and everything." When you see God do something like that, Betty, can you bounce off the walls? Woo! When you see him answer your prayer, that just confirms, ladies and gentlemen, one more time, the King is really, really there. You know that? We all know that, but you know, when he does something like that, something that's astounding. Wow, let's see what the next couple of verses said, 5 or 6. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, first of all, if you have the spiritual blessing and you're accepted in the beloved, you know how many people are not accepted? There ain't nobody accepted in the beloved except those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When you accept Jesus, you can pray before you go to bed and the Master will give you the formulas. Is that still an awesome testimony, Miss Betty? I don't care what anybody says. When I think about a little lady like you, I can just see you. Now, this may not have been the way it was, but I can see this little lady coming up there and gets beside her bed, humbling herself before the King of the universe and saying, Master, I can't make this thing work. I need some help. Would you, according to your word, you said I could ask for whatever. I'm asking you to show me all the cells and the formulas that go in them, and I want to thank you. I know it's done in Jesus' name, and go to bed. Something like that. And the next morning when she wakes up, everything's burned into her mind indelibly. She knows exactly what formula to put in what cell, and that spreadsheet is still working today. Isn't that something? Now then, how many of us go through life and we spend all of our time and effort and we never can make something work, so we call in a computer specialist and have to pay them $100 or $200 an hour or maybe whatever, I don't know what they charge, but they're not cheap, right? And they come in and they fix your problem and everything, and of course that's the way it works. But to pray, you know, most people in church never think about praying. Is that true? Most of us don't even think about praying because all these spiritual blessings belongs to us. We're accepted in the beloved. Okay, verse 7 and 8. In whom we have redemption. Okay, now that's another one of your spiritual blessings. Redemption. You have redemption not only from sin, but you have redemption from the curse. You're redeemed from both sin and the curse. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're now redeemed from sin. And according to the Word of God, how often are we supposed to sin after we get redeemed when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? How much sin is there supposed to be in your life the rest of your life? Not supposed to be any. But we don't know that, do we? So, since we don't know that, I mean, Bill probably just like me. When we got saved, we didn't know that, did we, Bill? I didn't either. And so guess what? We sinned once in a while, didn't we?
More than once.
Oh, Bill's truthful. We've all done it, haven't we, Bill? We're not supposed to get angry at people no more. So, man, we never did do that. We just grabbed by the nape of the neck and punch them out. They didn't do what we wanted, right? We had no clue who we were as sons of God. And that's what happens to most of us. But he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. If we're redeemed by his blood, when we get saved, none of us come to Jesus without having sin in our life, did we? Some of us may have had a little, some of us may have had a lot. You know, I mean, I see people that are sick and afflicted. I see women in wheelchairs because they had an abortion 10 years ago and they've never forgiven themselves for what, and they wind up in a wheelchair because of their sin. Not realizing that the blood of Jesus washed that up. All I had to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. And will he forgive them? Every time, without fail. So they don't have to be there. Now then that they've not forgiven themselves, they have a grudge against themselves, and so now then that sends a tormenting spirit to them because they have unforgiveness toward themselves, and they won't take what Jesus has done. They won't receive those spiritual blessings that belongs to them, so they get into unforgiveness with themselves, which opens the door to a demon, and a demon comes in and he afflicts them, and it may take a few years, but in 5 or 10 or 15 years, that woman will be in a wheelchair if she doesn't forgive herself with some kind of cancer or something, killing her body. And she'll die early. Whereas all she's got to do is learn the word and what rightfully belongs to her. I'm redeemed by the blood. Lord, forgive me, I messed up. He said, no problem, I can fix it. And he does. This belongs to you. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I told a story up there at Wisconsin or in Iowa that I hadn't told in a long time. But there was a lady one night when I was on Daystar television. I was on the prayer lines. And I got this phone call. And actually, one of the ladies got the phone call. And after she talked to her a little while, she told her, said, I'm going to see if I can get Thurman to come by your house. Give me your address. And so she did. And when she got off the phone, we got through the television that night, on Friday night. She said, Thurman, you need to go by and see this lady. She's in a wheelchair for 8 or 9 or 10 years, whatever it was, a long time. And her husband's there with her, and she can't walk, and she doesn't get this face stuff. So would you go by and see her? I said, sure. So I called him and asked him if I could come by, and her husband was there, and he said, sure, come on, we'd love to have you. So I went by, and I got there, and I walked in. Here's this woman in a wheelchair. I'm in their 45, 48, somewhere along, under early 50s. So anyway, she's in a wheelchair. I began to show her what belonged to her. This is one of the scriptures I use. I said, you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Well, I don't understand redemption. I said, what it is that when you got saved, every sin you had ever committed from the time you were born, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have to tell him what your sins are. You don't know what your sins are. But he redeemed you from those sins. He paid the price, but with his blood, so that whatever you had done was washed away by the blood. So she said, you mean to tell me that every sin I'd ever committed in my whole life when I got saved, he forgave me all of them? I said, he did. He forgave you for every one of them. Now, does anybody else here agree with me? Is this true? Okay, so we got lots of hands there, so y'all agree with me. That's what that scripture is saying, isn't it? We're redeemed by the blood. I said, and another thing too, if you know it, I said, you're redeemed from the curse. That's one of the spiritual blessings that belongs to you. You are redeemed from the curse. I said, and the curse, the sins that you committed, put you under a curse. And since you don't know how to receive them by faith, you still got them. I said, you have to receive everything you get from God by faith. It's not automatic. I said, you have to know these principles that they're yours, and then you have to say, Lord, you said. I'll give you an example. You said in Matthew 18:19. First of all, you said in 1 John 1:9 that if I confess my sin, you're righteous and just to forgive my sins. Is that what he said?
Amen.
How many of those sins did he forgive, Michael?
All.
Oh, isn't that awesome? And when we say, Lord, I've sinned here. I mean, most of us got a long list. You know that? But when we confess those to him, how many does he forgive?
Oh.
Isn't that awesome? That's almost too good to be true, isn't it, Mike? But it is true. So aren't we grateful that we serve a God that puts no limit on how many sins he can forgive? So he redeems us from all those sins. I told her, I said, when you get a hold of the fact that he redeemed you from sin, so you don't have to sin no more, he also redeemed you from the curse. So I said, so whatever it was that's holding you in that wheelchair, it's already been paid for. I said, that's why he said in his word that we could come to him and ask him for anything under the new covenant, and he would do it for us. She said, you mean that if I've confessed all my sin, if I believe this by faith, I could get up and walk? I said, yes, ma'am, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you believe, but it ain't gonna work unless you believe. She said, all these promises we've been going over, you're telling me that God give us all those promises so we can stand on those so we can be saved and healed or whatever. I said, yes, ma'am, that's exactly what he said. She said, that's too good to be true. She said, that can't be true. She said, I know sometimes God says no and sometimes he says yes. I said, ma'am, that's not true. I said, God always says yes to his promises to his obedient children. She said, now, I have read this book from cover to cover, and there ain't no such verse. I said, well, ma'am, I'll tell you what. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And I want you to see what 2 Corinthians 1:20 says. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:20. We'll come back here. For some of the promises of God... Uh-oh, did I misquote that? Oh! So, man, I had so many raise their voice. I must have misunderstood that. For how many?
All.
Say it one more time.
All.
Okay, so we're all in agreement. For all the promises of God in him or in Christ are yes. And in him are amen unto the glory of God by us. So how many of God's promises are yes?
All.
Is that good news, young lady? You like that?
Yes, very much.
I thought you'd love that. How about you, young lady? You love that too? You see what happens when you begin to see the word like it's written?
Yes.
How many of the promises of God are yes?
All.
Ooh, is that good news, girl?
Yes.
Can you like that too?
Yes.
My wife and I, we like that.
Oh,
Kim, you and Scott, y'all like that?
We love
that.
It.
Means every time you pray, you know you're going to get your answer, right, Scott?
Yes.
So you can pray in faith every time, right?
Amen.
Yeah. This couple here, they do all kinds of lawn work, all kinds of landscaping and every building houses and everything else. And I couldn't tell you the number of times these two have sat out there when a storm was fixing to come up and they said, okay, Lord, we're not quite through. We need you to hold the rain and the lightning off for just 20 more minutes. By that time, we'll be through and we'll load our equipment. Everybody's out there saying, get your stuff in the truck. No problem. We've prayed. God's not going to let it rain until we get through. And they get through and run their tractor inside and shut the door. Sometimes I heard them say, just as we close the door, what happens?
Don't.
Crash, down it comes. Did God honor your prayer, Scott?
Yes.
So over and over he's done this for y'all, hadn't he? See, now God gives all of us that kind of power. When you learn it, doesn't it make life fun? I mean, serving the Lord, that'll make you straighten your act up. When you say, if I don't do what he tells me, he's going to cut that power off. And Lord, I've learned to live with that power. I don't want it cut off. No way. I want that power to flow. And so when you believe him and do that. So this little lady, I told her, I said, I'm going to take you to the scripture in 2 Corinthians 1:20. I want you to read it. And she read it. I said, read it again. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes. I said, read it again. She said, for all the promises of God in Christ are yes. I said, read it again. What am I doing? She ain't getting it. Because guess what's going to happen when she gets it? She's going to be like I was when I heard about the prayer of quadriplegic. She's going to start bouncing off the walls. And so, do y'all know we read things and don't get it? And so I said, read that again. She said, for all the promises of God in him are yes. I said, read it again. For all the promises of God in him are yes. I said, read it again out loud. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes. Wait a minute. For how many? And we only read it about 10 times. For all the promises of God in him are yes. Oh, she threw it and said, Lord, thank you that I don't have to sit in this wheelchair no more.
Amen.
Lord, I praise you and thank you that it's written in your word, I am healed. All your promises are yes and amen. Lord, I'm healed. Oh, glory to God, I'm healed. I don't have to sit here no more. For 10 minutes, I sat there and listened to that woman do that. I said, ma'am, why don't you just get up and walk? You would never believe what I just saw. That woman put her hands on that chair, pushed up and run out of that wheelchair like she had never been in that wheelchair. She was completely instantly healed. Now, what did that? The word. That's the same way when Cheryl was with me when we were in Hobbs one time. The first lady who came that was in a wheelchair had been there for how many years had she been there? Seven or eight or 10 years, something like this. And we got her down there, and we prayed over her. She repented of her sins. I said, okay, woman, you're healed. She said, okay. I said, look, no, you got to believe this stuff. I said, woman, get up and walk. She said, I can't walk. I said, woman, repent for your unbelief. Oh, she said, okay, I'll repent. I said, now get up. So Cheryl's on one side of her. I'm on the other side. We lift this woman up. We get her up there, and I said, walk. She said, I can't walk. I can't. I said, woman, walk. And she said, sir, I can't walk. I said, okay, just hold. I grabbed her, and I started shaking her like this. I said, walk. She said, but I can't walk. I said, walk in the name of Jesus. And then I twisted her body. I said, walk, you're walking. I am walking. And by the time we get to the back, the woman was walking all over the church. That woman went home that night and I left her wheelchair there. Some of them are a little harder to get through. Some of them you got to hit, you know, 9 times right in the temple with the word of God. Just like the little lady there with 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises. I know she read that 10 times and it never did register. Never did register. And then I said, read it with emphasis like this. For all the promises of God in Christ. I said, you're in Christ, aren't you, ma'am? She said, yes. I said, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen.
Amen.
Every time, so it belongs to you. Is that what he said, girls? Is that what he really said?
Yes.
Is the word of God for you? Is it for you? Yeah. Is it for you?
Yes.
Yes, it's for me too. How about you, Ann? Yeah, it's for you too. Now you see, when we get a hold of it. And then I want to take you to one scripture to finish up. I want to take you to Ephesians 3:20. And I want to show you. This is one of those awesome. We got all kinds of spiritual blessings down through there, but we hadn't got time to go through all of them today. Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, there's the problem. The power that worketh in us. How much of that power is working in you? Not very much. How much is supposed to be in you? How are you going to get it all in you? You're going to have to read the Word. That's right. You read the Word. Let's say you got 10,000 verses hidden in your heart. How much of that Word's in you? A whole bunch. What will God use you for? A bunch. What if you have one verse committed to memory, John 3:16, that's the only one you know. And I know lots of Christians, that's all they know. Can he do something with that verse?
Yes,
he can. But he can't do near as much with that. He can if you got 500 in there. If you got 500 verses in there, he said, come on, son, or come on, daughter, I got something for you today. I'm going to take you somewhere. We're going to do great and mighty things in my name. And the more of the scripture you have hidden in your heart, the greater are the things God will use you for. You see? He wants you to know the promises. Just like Dave said a while ago. When you come to God, you got to come to him with the Word. You got to know who he is. He's got to know who you are. And you got to say, Lord, it's written. I'm fixing to cast this demon out of this little girl. Or this little boy. Whatever it is. I'm going to cast this demon out. And Lord, it's written in Luke 10, 19, and 20. That beast got to obey me. And it's also written in John 20:23 that I can remit that boy's sins. And I'm going to cast that devil out in the name of Jesus. And when you get to where you believe those things. Do you know, the first time I taught John 20:23. In fact, let's put that scripture on the board right quick. Some of you have never seen that scripture. I want you to see this. John 20:23, and look at it. In fact, put it up in the NLT, if you will. Put it in the NLT. It's real easy, the NLT. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are what? If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? If you forgive anyone's sin, can you forgive somebody else's sin?
Yes.
Do you know the first weekend that I decided to teach that in my church. I'd known that for a long, long time. I taught that in my church over in Dallas. I had people come back to me next Sunday, said, Thurman, I go to another church on Sunday morning, and I told my pastor what you said, and they said, you're crazy. Okay. If I'm crazy, who else is crazy? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, and somebody else said that. Somebody said, well, my pastor said he told the disciples that, and that's only. I said, okay. I said, do you have a scripture to back that up? And they said, no, we don't have, but said, that's what my pastor said. I said, okay. You need to be careful what pastor you listen to, because I'm going to take you to Matthew 28, starting with verse 17, and I'm going to show you something in Matthew 28. Look at this, Matthew 28. Start with verse 17. Okay, there. That's okay. That's good enough. 19, 17. Okay. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Now, who are these guys? The apostles, the disciples. Jesus has come back from the dead. He's getting ready to go to heaven. And he comes back there and he said, and they saw him walking. Now they saw him dead. They saw him put in the tomb. And here he is standing here. You're looking at him. Now, nobody could ever doubt when you see the Master, right? You think. But his own disciples, they saw him, and what did they do? They doubted. Sure. I mean, that doubt, that's a big thing to overcome, I will have to say. But when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. That can't be him. It just, you know, I mean, we got people like that today. You know, that can't be true. Yeah, okay. I know that you said that you prayed for this guy and he was a quadriplegic and he's walking today in a walker, but you know, if it was really God, why ain't he running and playing? You know, I don't believe that. I don't believe God does that again. They can figure out something to explain it away. You know that? Yeah. I mean, just like my granddaughter. I mean, there's a whole lot of them. I had one doctor walk into my church one time. He said, "Are you Pastor Thurman Scrivener?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I heard somebody tell me a story that your granddaughter was in an automobile accident and it severed her brainstem." And I said, "Yes, sir, that's true." He said, "Then she's dead." I said, "But sir, she's not dead. He said, "It can't be the same girl." I said, "But sir, it is the same girl." He said, "Let me tell you, I'm a medical doctor. And if a brain stem gets severed, there ain't nobody on earth can put it back together." I said, "Well, there may not be a medical doctor and put it back together." I said, "But Jesus can." He said, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that." He said, "That did not happen. That's not the truth." I didn't make it what I said, "You know, I have a stack of records this tall come from the hospital." And I do have. You know, and he said, "I ain't going to believe them." You know, he said, I know I'm a medical doctor. And Jack, you're a doctor too. From a doctor's standpoint, is he right? From a doctor's standpoint, is it possible to put a brain stem back together? No, it is not even possible. I mean, the thousands of little cords and whatever, forget it. It can't be done, can it? It's over. Yeah, that's exactly what every doctor down there told me. It's over. But let me tell you, I know the one that can do anything. And y'all know what his name is?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's exactly right, Jesus. So he says, and Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." So how much power and authority does our master have?
All.
He's got it all. Okay, he got it every bit. Now let's see what the next verse says, verse 19. "So go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, wait a minute. Now, these guys, this stuff that they were doing, that's only for the apostles, right?
No.
Not according to that verse. According to that verse, if I'm an apostle or if I'm a disciple or whatever I am, and I walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago, and I've been healing the sick, casting out devils and everything and doing what he said, when he leaves, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go make new disciples and teach them to do what? How many things?
All.
In other words, teach them to cast out demons,
yes.
Teach them to heal the sick,
yep.
Cleanse the lepers,
yep.
Raise the dead.
Yep.
I'm supposed to teach them all things. Is that what he said?
Right.
So that command didn't go just to the next set of disciples. It went to every set of disciples throughout history, right? That's us. In other words, we're supposed to be taught how to do this. That's what he has called me to do, to train you how to do these things. So you're supposed to walk in them, and then the generation that follows you and your children, you're supposed to teach them how to do these things. This is never supposed to stop. You know, we're supposed to walk in obedience to his word. We're supposed to be healing the sick. In fact, I got to tell you that my wife, when years ago, way before she knew me, she was singing, her and her daughter were singing in a parade or something downtown Dallas, and she stepped up on the side of a pickup fender and fell out on her head and her back out on the pavement. It messed her up big time. I mean, she didn't know how to walk by faith, didn't have a clue how to walk by faith, and so she was in terrible pain, suffering for years, 5 or 6 years, she was in pain and suffering and had to go through all kinds of therapy and everything. And then the day came, she met this man sitting right over here, Eldon. Hold up your hand, Eldon, so people see who you are. She met him. Somebody told her, "You need to go see him and his wife, Nancy." And so Cheryl went over to their house that day. And 4 or 5 hours later, Eldon prayed over her, anointed her with oil and everything known to man. He quoted scriptures of all kinds. And up to this point, that man was the first godly man that my wife had ever run into in her life. She didn't know there was godly men that could do what he could do. But she needed something, and somebody told her with her sickness and pain she had, if she'd go over there and let him pray for her, God would do something wonderful. So she went. And when she left his house that day, Cheryl was completely healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Now, is Eldon something special? No, he's just a man, just like me, just like you. But we're sons of the Most High God, and we're supposed to be teaching people to do what our Lord told us to do. We're supposed to be praying for the sick, teaching people how to walk holy and obedient to His Word. And when we do this, God shows up on the scene, and He healed my wife, Cheryl, years before she became my wife. And so, you know, but she didn't know those things. So after we got married, she said, honey, I'm going to tell you, Eldon is the first and only godly man I've ever met in my life till I come into you. She said, you're the second one. But said, he was the first one. Now, all I got to say, that's a shame. Yes. Of all the churches she's been to, now she's Episcopal. Yeah, she's, well, yeah, Episcopal and everything else. But I mean, she was up in her 50s. And to think that a woman could live 50 something years and never met a godly man. That walks in the gifts. Yeah. I think that's a shame. You know, I think that we as men, I think we have a command from our Lord to get in there and be holy. I mean, we just read that in Ephesians, didn't we? We're supposed to be holy and blameless before our masters 24/7, right, Bill? That's a commandment from the Lord. And then all these spiritual blessings belong to you, everything. Salvation is yours, healing is yours, deliverance is yours, authority over the devil is yours. I mean, you can cast out demons, you can heal the sick, you can stop a storm, you know, you can do everything. I mean, it's amazing what's available to us if we just believe. In fact, I love to tell that story about that little 8 or 10 year old kid that him and his mom and dad had been listening to my stuff a lot. And I don't know what kind of problem they had at home. Maybe none. Maybe they just listened. But anyway, when I was in California, I said, you know, there's a couple that wrote me an email that said they have a little son and they were going to go on a trip from Seattle to Hawaii. And they got out on the ship a couple of days and the seas got extremely rough. And so the little boy said, Mama, let's go upstairs and take care of this. He'd heard me teach these principles and the authority he had. So Mama said, I went up with him. He walked over on the deck. Now, if any of you've ever seen a rolling ocean, I don't care if the wind stops, the ocean rolls for hours. He goes up on top of the deck and he stands there with his mama and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be still. A 10-year-old kid. And his mother said, within a minute, the ocean was as smooth as I ever saw. So anyway, she wrote me an email and told me about that. When we were in California, months and months later, I was talking about this couple from Seattle that had this son that did this. And as I told the story, I saw a hand go back there. And I said, you have a question? She said, we're that family. This is my son. I said, come up here. I said, son, did you do it? He said, yes, sir. He said, I heard you tell it on your teachings. And so I went to my Bible, and my Bible said the same thing. So I said, well, if God can do that through Thurman, He can do it through me. Amen. And I thought, the faith of a child. Amen. Isn't that something? Yes. So his mother said, I'll never forget that day. We go up on that ship and that thing said nearly everybody on the ship was sick. Said it was just rolling like crazy. The ocean was really, the winds were really up. And he just pointed his hand and said, in the name of Jesus, peace be still. And said the ocean, did our Lord ever do that?
Yes.
Oh, he did. And then if Jesus did that, then he said in John 14:12, I said, we'll quit. But this is the last one, promise. One more verse. John 14:12. Look what the Lord said, John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. What did the King plan for you and me to do? Greater works. So did he plan for us to pray for the sick and to get well? Did he plan for us to pray for ourselves and get well? Did he plan for us to have authority over the devil? Did he plan for us to know it?
Yes.
Why in the world do we not know it? I mean, it's written, is it not? Did I teach you anything today that wasn't written in God's Word? Did I confirm everything I said with it is written?
Yes.
It should change your life forever. You know that? It will, if you will believe. What do you think, brother? Is everything I said, I'm talking to you.
Absolutely.
Everything I said today is in God's Word, right? So we ought to be able to do everything the Master told us to do, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we should. Jack, you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Wow. Well, praise the Lord. I am so grateful that you came today, and I hope you come back next Sunday. We will start over and continue to daily feed yourself the Word of God. Learn how it works, believing the Word of God. And when you read it, remember, don't read it like the woman in the wheelchair. Don't read it like she did 10 times. Read it slow and out loud. Wow. For all the promises of God in Him are yes. Wow. Meditate on that a little while. You know, don't just read over that like we do. You know, we try to get and say, well, I read 10 verses last night in 5 minutes. I can guarantee you didn't learn nothing. You know, take your time with God's Word. Let it soak in, right? Wow. Father, I praise you and thank you for all these folks that come out to hear your Word. I ask you to continue to open their understanding, their hearts to the Word of God. I ask you to bless them with knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding from your mighty Word. And as they learn more and more, may they teach it to their children, to their families, and may they all grow in Christ and learn how to walk holy before you so they can walk in divine health so they don't ever have to be sick again. And I praise you and thank you for blessing them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.